Turn with me in your Bibles. Book of Luke. Luke, the 19th chapter. We'll read
quite familiar to all of us. It's the story of what is titled the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When Christ was come to Jerusalem for as a king, in the old scriptures, I think it's Zechariah 9:9, I'll read it to you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just
salvation lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Wow. This was prophesied some years and years back of Christ coming victorious as king. No, in his ministry, as he traveled about doing the things that he done, all the miracles that he performed, all these things, it was kind of quiet. He was kind of, not pushy, not, making a big splash out of everything. Matter of fact, he even told his disciples, tell no man. Keep it quiet. The miracles that he done. But at this particular time, he came as king. He let the whole world know who he was. As he entered into Jerusalem, he came riding upon a colt. A young colt that never a man had saddled. And that always amazed me each year that we go through this time of season. And I told this story to you last year, but it's off out there again. Do you ever go to a donkey ball game? Anybody here that old or used to go to them things? Yes, used to see them donkey ball games where they'd get out there on the basketball court and climb on these donkeys and ride them around and play basketball on a donkey. And if these donkeys didn't buck enough or jump enough, they had a little electric prod that jabbed a little bit, and away they'd go, kick and stomp and carry on. These donkeys were used to people sitting on their back. Now you fly here in the world, and you find you a little donkey that no man has ever sat on, and you climb on him and see what happens. I'm afraid you're not going to be there very long. You're going to be sitting on the ground. Well, this is exactly what they found. They found this colt. As he told them to go into the city, it was already planned. God's plan was already in place, and he knew exactly what was going to be. Told him to go into the city. These two disciples, you will find a colt tied loosely. You don't have no question. Just go get him. Man, that's horse demon. And he says, if anybody says anything to you, just tell them that the Lord has need of it. That was the answer, the only answer that he needed. Wow. So he did just that. They went in and they found this colt tied and they loosed him. And boy, they no sooner got the kid loosed up there. And the owner said, hey, whoa, here, fellow, where are you going, Pop? And he said, the Lord has need of it, satisfied. Now, if that had been you or me, and someone come and took our colt and just said, the Lord has need, we'd ask questions, wouldn't we? We'd have to say, whoa, here now. Wait a minute. Got to have a little collateral, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. You got to have a little proof of something here. No. Because that owner knew exactly what was going on. He didn't know the need. He didn't know what that was going to be used for. But he knew God had spoken. When God speaks, we act. Irregardless if we don't know exactly what the outcome is or what the purpose is, if God tells us to move, we best move. They did. And he never questioned anything. They brought the coat back and they put their clothes on him and they put Jesus got climbed on this coat, calm as it could be, rode right into town as the king. These donkeys that we're talking about, they were a peaceful animal. Why didn't he pick a horse? Why didn't he have a great stallion or something there that could prance and all this, that, and the other? You've seen some of these horses, how they teach them these very fancy footwork and all that, and it's beautiful. No. He picked the donkey. The fighting. It was for battle. But the donkeys were for peace. Yes. When Christ came into the world, you remember Mary, as she was going up, was riding on the donkey. Peace, you see. Peace. This little animal represented peace. As he entered into this city of Jerusalem, he was there to proclaim to the whole world that he was the Messiah. As he went in, the disciples, and they said there was a whole multitude up behind him. Then they begin to shout, they begin to praise, they begin to glorify God, praising him for Jesus Christ. They supposed that he was coming in to settle up politically. They thought he was coming as a political ruler, as a king, that he would be set up as a king, that he could make everything right, that their lives would be easy, that they would live Cindy said this morning, without work, and that they could live real good, and they could forget all this oppression that was coming upon them. And not so. He didn't come in to bring political peace. He did not. Quite the opposite. He came in because he knew what was just ahead. He knew what was going to happen just very shortly. As these people were praising God and shouting and having the great glorious times there, I can imagine. You see these parades when some great person that has done some great feat, like on a basketball game. Yeah. There'll be a lot of commotion going on down in Morgantown when the Mountaineers come back from New York. They'll have a big to do over it.
That was last night.
That's already happened.
They came back in.
Yeah, they did come back. Okay. That's not a drop in the bucket. Compared to seeing Jesus Christ moving in on a donkey. Can you? Woo! Wouldn't you love to have been there? Wouldn't you love to add your shout to it? Wouldn't you just love to have been there? Well, what's to keep us from praising God every time we meet him, which we should continually praising his holy name? We'll make more noise at a basketball game than we will at the altar of Christ. We'll make more noise, we'll do more praising for a guy that's 7'2" tall that can reach up and put a little round basketball down through the hoop. Now that's something that's something great, yeah. But for a man to go to a cross on Calvary and go through the crucifixion that Christ did for us, that we might not be condemned to a devil's hell, that we might have salvation. Yeah. You see, folks, we sometimes a little lack. God is so great, so powerful. But as he rode into that city, he was telling the whole world that he was the Messiah. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. As we don't sometimes when we, before we were saved, we heard these preachers preach, we heard these people talk, we heard the singing, we read the book, we done all this, that, and the other, but it was always kind of a mystery. I don't think anybody can fully understand salvation. It is so great. It's far beyond us. This little mind can't comprehend how one person believe it. But we don't fully understand it, but one day we will. When he himself explained all these things to us, what rejoicing there will be when we see Jesus. These folks, when they saw him coming in, they were condemned for praising God. They said, and the Pharisees spoke up and they said, silence these people. They're making too much commotion. They're doing it. And he answered. And he said, if they don't praise God, then these rocks will cry out. Yes, God will have praise. Whether it's of you or me, or whether it's of the birds out there that sing every morning, whatever it is, if we refuse to praise God, then someone will be praising our praise. Ooh-wee. Yes, if we refuse, then somebody will get our blessing. Somebody will get what we should have. He knew these people. They were praising, they were having a good time. They couldn't say enough. They were just having a great time because they had seen the mighty work that Christ had done. If you had to stop them or in their tracks at that particular time and told them that in just a little while, couple of days, whatever, just a little while, then your same voices that are lifted up praising God are going to say, crucify him. The very same voices that lifted praise for God would deny it, would say, crucify him, because of the crowd, the riotous crowd that influenced him. He would be led away to be crucified. Had a choice. They had the choice. Is it Christ or is it Barabbas? Barabbas was guilty. They knew it. Christ was innocent. They knew it. But they said, give us Barabbas. Oh, the world today that we live in, they're standing with a choice. Will it be Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God? Or will it be Barabbas, the sinner? And the world is so twisted, so overcome by the crowd. They're so twisted with rights and wrongs that they're saying, give us Barabbas. Give us the devil. Let us live for him. Let us live for today because tomorrow, don't believe it. But one day, every knee everything that we possibly could want, and yet turn our backs on him and accept what Satan has and call it good. This is what we want. It makes us happy. Yes, this is it. Do your thing. Well, God has let us go. He has let us go to a point that is kind of unbearable. But one day, and that's very soon, he's going to say, enough is enough is enough. Come forward, church. And he'll call out, and the church will leave this earth to go to be with him. Praise the Lord. Are you looking forward to it?
Amen.
Amen. And then all hell breaks loose, because the church, you and I, are the only reason, that God hasn't said, let them go. Because you and I pray one for another, pray for the world, pray for all these out there that are lost. We're the ones that are holding back. This morning, as Christ drove into Jerusalem, he offered to the whole world salvation. The way out, he offered free, because he was going to stand in, take the place for all who would just say, yes, Lord, I will. Father, as we just bow in your presence, knowing, God, that you gave, Father, your very best. And Lord, as you have offered to the whole world your Son, Jesus, as a supreme sacrifice that we could